and plain stupidity. Democrats deserve 1,000% of the credit for this. They own it. It's the stink on their shoes, it's their personal mark of Cain, and their scarlet letter. Remember to listen to Free America Radio each weekend on KTW and the ACN Radio Network.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. In Ukraine right now, there are massive protests larger than the Orange Revolution 9 years ago, over a million people in downtown Kiev, to throw out the socialist thug Yanukovych. Why? Well, because he's stifling economic growth with socialist policies aligning Ukraine with Russia, and he is using the police state to crush conservative dissent. Like Vitaly Klitschko, a pro-Christian heavyweight boxing champion of the world, who wants to massively lower and restructure taxes, decentralize government, and give more freedom to the people. Similar to Yanukovych, President Obama's agenda can also be summed up simply as taking God out of America, making people dependent on government, and having citizens be comfortable with a socialist police state. The solution is a freedom agenda for America and for all of us. Once again, become God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans. At least that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee like Matt Shea, Republican.
Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Spokane. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We can't end with prayer. We must also move to action. And as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle. But the battle is the Lord's. And now from the front, your weekly intelligence briefing on the international front. So much for global warming, huh? We just broke the record for records. Actually, they do keep statistics on that, too. But it is very clear right now we are going into what is called a Maunder minimum, which is a minimum solar cycle, which will result in cooling for the foreseeable future and totally crush Al Gore and his global warming agenda. On the national front, some good news. 479 sheriffs so far have signed up on the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association website, saying that they will stand against and not enforce any federal gun control laws. That is a huge win for America. And also, on the same day that was announced, a judge struck down the NSA's spying program en masse. And finally, somebody on the federal bench is reading the Constitution and actually enforcing it. And thank you to that judge for doing that, because it is very clear that we are free from searches and seizures in our papers and effects, and that does cover what we do on the internet and what we say over the telephone. On the Olympia front, the Freedom Agenda team helped break an article that has now gone national as of yesterday regarding a strange and very strange timing on this too, plan to massively expand the power of the governor regarding continuity of government and to change the word, the definition for the word emergency, to massively expand to anything that the president declares an emergency here in Washington state. We broke that. InfoWars has now made it national, and actually they were talking about it yesterday on the radio, almost the whole program. It is very important that you take a look at that. I have posted that on Facebook. But this massive expansion of power in the name of continuity of government in any disaster whatsoever is very strange, because you have to amend the state constitution to do it, and they may actually try and may actually succeed. So we're going to need your help here coming up. This is going to be a major issue in this next session and something we're going to be talking about more on the program in the weeks to come. On the local front, well, there is a very hard push right now for a regionalization of health districts. That plan came out last week unofficially, and I guess is going to come out here this week officially, right before Christmas, when no one is paying attention, obviously. But it is to regionalize the health districts in all of Eastern Washington. Now, this is a very bad centralization of government, just in principle, but also just in practical application. The health needs of Northeast Washington are very much different than in Spokane County, are very much different than in the middle of Washington state. So why would we want to regionalize our health districts? That does not make any sense. And if you want to weigh in on that, it would be good to call the county commissioners here in Spokane County or your own personal county and tell them you don't want to see a regionalization of any health districts anytime soon. And that, this morning, is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And speaking of that, this morning I have a very special guest, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, pastor of Liberty Fellowship, co-founder of the Modern Black-Robed Regiment in Montana. Pastor Chuck, thanks once again for joining me on Battlefront this morning.
Matt, it's great to be with you. Thank you very much.
So you've had some very interesting articles recently regarding pastors and regarding how the church just has failed in its job to teach people about fundamental principles of liberty. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are in the mess that we are in today as a country, because the vast majority of America's pastors and churches are virtually silent on the issues pertaining to the maintenance of our freedom. And there's a lot of reasons for this. Some of it is ignorance. I think a lot of it's willful ignorance. Some of it is that they've never actually been taught the principles of liberty, including the principles of natural law. Some of it is just downright cowardice. They are afraid of the consequences if they become controversial, their word, in the pulpit. Some is that they are very much desirous of self-aggrandizement. They are looking to promote their careers, and the way to do that is to have bigger crowds and bigger buildings and bigger offerings and bigger notoriety, and so they're very much success-oriented, per Joel Osteen, et cetera. Regardless of the motive, the result is, for the most part, the pastors and churches are utterly silent on the issues maintaining freedom. And this contrasts with the pastors of colonial America, when the Black Robed Regiment was very much active and teaching and preaching the principles of liberty to their congregations, which was the catalyst for America's war for independence. And that's what's missing today.
We had a very interesting occurrence in Olympia this last year when we were debating the issue of gun control. I was sitting in the Judiciary Committee. We had three pastors come up as a panel and testify that gun control was perfectly biblical. And when I challenged them on Luke 22, 33 through 36, they said, well, I've never read that in the scripture. And I said, you know, that's kind of exactly my point. But what was more dismaying to me was not one single pastor testified against gun control in that committee hearing, and that really seems to be endemic in America today, doesn't it?
It really does. In fact, that's why my son Tim and I, you know, Tim's a constitutional lawyer friend of yours, and he and I wrote a book entitled To Keep or Not to Keep, Why Christians Should Not Give Up Their Guns. And the reason we wrote that book is because we saw the same thing you just described. Whenever that battle over the Obama-Feinstein gun control was raging here in the first of the year, we noticed that the pastors and churches were utterly silent, just silent. And if they spoke at all, it was, as you said, they spoke in favor of more gun control. So we recognized then that we had to get something in print to get out to the churches and Christians relative to what the Bible really does teach about the principle of self-defense. So that's why we wrote the book. We quote the entire scripture. We show from the Old and New Testaments both that nowhere in the Bible does God expect his people to disarm themselves in the face of tyrants. Just the opposite. Since we are created beings of God, he gave us our nature, he gave us our liberty, our lives, our families, our property, etc. He expects us to defend that which is his, not government's. And so, you know, we show that clearly in the book. Thankfully, it's had a wide range of support, and a lot of people have purchased it. And your listeners would love to have it. Can I give my website?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can go to my website at chuckbaldwinlive.com. That's all one word, chuckbaldwinlive.com, and they can get that book and also the book on Romans 13, which is also a crutch that many pastors use to stay out of politics.
Well, and recently in one of your articles, you had one of the biggest reactions you've ever had to that issue of submission to government. And what really shocked me was one of the responses of an actual pastor was that he would allow his wife to be raped by the government because he had to submit. I couldn't even fathom he said that, but much more, who's this guy's wife? My goodness.
Yeah. And I wonder if she really has heard him say that. I Apparently she has. I tell you, the depth of the ignorance and the cowardice of the average American pulpit today staggers the imagination. I mean, we have such a history in this country of courageous, bold pastors. You know, guys like Jonas Clark and John Leland and Peter Muhlenberg and on from every denomination. These guys, you know, James Caldwell was hated so much by the British that they killed his wife, murdered his wife while she was sitting in her own bedroom holding her own child in her arms, burned his house down to the ground, family fled in terror. That they actually came, I say burned his house, burned his church down. They actually paid a loyalist American to assassinate him, which he did for money. And, you know, this was a Presbyterian pastor that, you know, was on the forefront of our war for independence. And, you know, that's the heritage that we have as pastors and Christian leaders in this country. And to see the kind of men we have today that are absolutely unwilling to say even the slightest word of protest against the most egregious, heinous form of wicked government imaginable. It really defies logic and imagination that the pulpits in America could digress to this point.
Well, freedom and liberty, they are biblical principles. We just don't hear them taught in churches anymore. What would be your message to pastors right now about teaching freedom and liberty, and where would you point them if they've never really thought about the subject or never really even investigated where they are in the Scripture?
Yeah, well, you know, first I'd probably point them to the books that Tim and I wrote, and then there's a list of other books that I put out a couple times. Well, at least once a year I'll put out a list of books that I recommend for everyone, not just pastors, to read, so I'd start with that. But, you know, first of all, it's got to have a willing heart there. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament book of Peter that this they willingly are ignorant of. Willful ignorance is something that you can do nothing about. And I'm just afraid that so many of our pulpits are guilty of that. It's not just ignorance. That can be solved through education and information. But willful ignorance, where somebody refuses to look at the facts, who refuses to look at history, who refuses to look at the entire counsel of God and compare Scripture with Scripture, that is you know, that's not teachable. So I think that we're dealing with a lot of that. Man, I think I'll just be so bold as to say what I've said several times in my columns. I really believe that we are at the point in America where Christians who love liberty, love their families, and love the future that freedom could afford their families. It's time for them to stop, you know, tolerating these pastors and churches that are selling their kids into slavery. And that's exactly what they're doing. No matter how nice they are and how theologically correct you think they are, you know, how much you personally like their preaching style or whatever, if they are not willing to take a stand against the enemies of freedom, they're helping to put the noose around the necks of our own kids and grandkids. And it's time that they start voting with their feet. And by that, I mean, got to get out of these churches. And there are men of God out there. They're far and few between, unfortunately. But they are there, men that are preaching the truth, men that are courageous, men that are not afraid to take a stand. And if the pastors will have people in the congregations to help them, to assist them, pray for them, hold up their arms, you know, those guys can be much more effective in our country. But what do you see? You see these do-nothing, say-nothing, hear-nothing preachers and pulpits, and they're the ones that got the big crowds. They got the big offerings, the big church buildings, the big assemblies. You know, and so where's the encouragement for the men of God that are out there trying to hold the line and preach the truth? I think it's time for the people in the pews to decide whether they want their children to be free or not and start voting with their feet in terms of where they're going to go to church on Sunday.
There really is a line being drawn in the sand, again, a modern line. And I have seen, and it's not limited to a denomination. I've seen it in the Catholic Church. I've seen it in the Lutheran Church. I've seen it in non-denominational churches. But there really is a line, and it's between loyalists and patriots, as you said in your recent column. I know Glenn Tate has mentioned that in his books in 299 Days. But Why do you think it is so hard for some people to decide which side they're on? I mean, it would seem pretty easy to me or to you. Why do you think people are struggling with that in the Christian church?
Well, one, because they've never been taught anything different.